Over the past several weeks, throughout December anyway, we've been taking a look at a short little sermon series based on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it gives some descriptive titles of Jesus. Now, it's a prophetic passage, and it happened 700 years before Jesus came, but the point of it was that this was the sign that people were supposed to be looking for. It was supposed to be a sign of authority. And the words are probably indelibly placed in our minds. We've heard them several times. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we're going to be taking a look at that concept of Prince of Peace. Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a couple of major awards that have been handed out. The first one was handed out to Miss Alaska. She is the new Miss United States of America. And then just after that, a young woman, or maybe before, I don't remember, Miss India was named Miss Universe. Pretty amazing awards for some very amazing people. And besides having poise and beauty, all of the contestants are supposed to demonstrate an ability to answer a difficult question that has been asked to them off the cuff, just like that. No preparation. Usually it has something to do with a current event or a world dynamic, something that is going on. But you and I all know and all remember the stereotypical answer. Well, that stereotypical answer is really well portrayed in the movie by Sarah Bullock. The movie is called Miss Congeniality. Just listen to this clip.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy.
World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
Thank you, Gracie Lee.
And thank you, Stan.
Cheryl Frazier from Rhode Island. Let's.
That was charming. You know, it seems to be a stereotypical thing, and we laugh. But I think deep down, a lot of us would love to see world peace happen. We really would. We would love for there to be peace on earth. In fact, peace on earth is one of those things that was promised when the birth of Jesus happened. You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It would be nice. But, you know, deep down inside of ourselves, I think we all know that it's really not going to be possible. Somebody, and I don't know who this was or where I heard it, but years ago I read that someone discovered that in the known history of the world, there have only been 100 years out of the thousands of years of history where there hasn't been a war going on someplace. Now, I did find this graph that I thought was pretty interesting. These are the global deaths in conflict since 1400. Each one of those little orange dots is a war. And the bigger the dot, the more deaths there were per 100,000 people. So there's lots of small deaths, but you can kind of see that from 1400 till today, we're talking 621 or 22 years almost, there's been a lot of war. There's been a lot of fighting. Each one of those dots represents a skirmish or a war or a battle. Some were civil wars, some were wars between tribes, some were wars against nations, some were world wars. I don't think you have to look very far before you can come up with the assumption that we're not a very peaceful world. Humans are just not very peaceful people. We would love to be, but we're just not peaceful. And if you don't want to look at the world conflicts or the conflicts that are going on all over the place, maybe just look within your own family. Look within those people that you're supposed to be related to, and you're probably not going to find peace by whatever definition you wish to use. And if that's not enough, maybe just look within your own life. There are lots of people who are not living in peace within themselves. Either they are ridden with guilt, they are frustrated by fear and anxiety, there just is no peace by, again, whatever your definition of peace is. I think that it would be fair to say that when we look in our world and within our families and even within ourselves, we find anger, we find prejudice, strife, heartache, grudges, people who feel unappreciated, misunderstood, devalued, and alone. And they're just not even at peace within their own spirit. Some people just simply are not at peace at all. Physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. There is just all kinds of chaos in this world. Now, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here. I don't want to be the kind of a person that just says, okay, we're all in bad shape. See you next week. Because I find that that's not the way the scripture is. You see, even though every year we know that this is a chaotic world, and it seems like around the holidays things get even more chaotic, people treat each other badly, we hope that they are going to treat each other nice, and then it doesn't happen, and so our expectations are blown out, and we get offended, and all kinds of things happen. We know that we're in a chaotic place, and yet the Christmas songs all say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it is loudly proclaimed because it's really what we want deep on the inside. And so we look to all kinds of things. We look to help our lack of peace in a multitude of ways, and it's just difficult to find. But instead of looking to our own abilities or our own talents or our own family or our own friends or counseling to find that peace, maybe we need to find a peace from a little more of a royal source. Maybe we really do need a prince of peace. And Jesus is just that. Jesus is royalty. Oh, he's not like a human prince. He was not born in a palace. He's not the heir to some monarch's throne. He's not the son of an earthly king. But he is our Prince of Peace because he is the son of the king. We could trace his lineage back to King David. The Bible does that pretty clearly. But that doesn't make Jesus the Prince of Peace just because his lineage goes all the way back to King David. Actually, his lineage goes back even further than that. What makes Jesus our Prince of Peace is that his royalty is eternal. His royalty is not time-based. His kingship, if you will, or his royalty princeliness is found not in the things or the confines of this world, but is found in an eternal, transcendent existence. He is not a prince just because King David is his great-great-great-great-great-great-great all the way back grandfather. He is the Prince of Peace because God is his Father. And that's what makes Jesus our Prince. His rule transcends this earth. His rule transcends anything of this realm, if you will. And his purposes are all from above. His goal, then, is to bring a peace that passes all understanding. One of my favorite verses when it comes to dealing with peace is the words that Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, where Jesus is telling his own disciples and anyone who will listen, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, there is an awful lot in that verse. We could spend hours unpacking that word by word because, you know, there's just so much in there. But I just want to give you a couple of things. First of all, the peace that Jesus gives us, this concept of peace, this word for peace, in the Hebrew it's shalom, in the Greek it's eirene. The concept is not just the lack of fighting, because you can have peace even in the midst of conflict. You can have internal peace even if there is external chaos. So the kind of peace that we're talking about here is not just the removal of war or the removal of conflict. The kind of peace that shalom is talking about is a harmony with the one who created it all. The kind of a peace where you're at one with God. Now, I know a lot of people would say, well, that's impossible. None of us can be at one with God because God is divine. God is eternal. God transcends everything. He created it all, so how can we be one with Him? Well, we can be in harmony with Him. Our will can be aligned with His perfect will. Now, Scripture also says, as much as we try to be perfect, we will never achieve it, but we are always supposed to aim for perfection. That's supposed to be our goal. And so everything that we do, everything that we feel, everything that we are about is supposed to try to line up with God's will. That's what brings peace. Now, even Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, was not free from chaos. Oh, he was free from chaos within himself, but externally, he had all kinds of people that were after his skin. He had all kinds of people that wanted him dead. So even though he was the Prince of Peace and still is, he lived in a chaotic world. He lived in a dangerous world. At our at the candlelight service on Christmas Eve, we talked about how God just inserted himself when God felt it was correct and when God's timing was right into the chaos of the world. He didn't ask first. He just showed up into our mess, into our danger. But that's one of the beautiful things about Jesus as our Prince of Peace. It's a peace that is remarkable. And it comes as a gift. And Jesus doesn't give gifts like we give gifts. Most of the time when we give gifts, and you probably have already experienced it, you know, if there's four gifts under the tree for this child, there better be four gifts under the tree for that child. And they better be of equal value. Because that's how we give gifts. And then they had better reciprocate. If we give them something, they'd better give us something, because if they don't give us something in return, well, then maybe they just don't appreciate who we are. And we become offended even in our process of giving gifts. We have a difficult time giving gifts unconditionally. We just don't know how to do it, because we always expect something in return. And if we don't get something in return, well, then they're not getting something from me next year, because I'm going to remember this. And we're really good at remembering hurts that have been done to us. We're really good at remembering slights that have happened to us. We're really good at holding on to grudges. It is one of the things that Satan has made us very good at. But that's not how Jesus gives. As the Prince of Peace, when he gives peace, he doesn't give as the world gives. He gives out of his grace, he gives out of his love, and he gives unconditionally. I can't even imagine how difficult that is for God, to give us something and then know that even if we don't give him anything in return, he's still going to give it to us. If we never reciprocate back to God, he will still give peace. Incredible. And so then when he comes along and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, this is kind of the byproducts, if you will, of this peace. You see, we know that Jesus had all kinds of opportunities to bring peace. We know that he provided external peace. You remember all of those things in Scripture that he did? He calmed the seas. He freed people from demons. He cured their diseases. Those who were trapped in addictions, even those who were trapped in denominational or spiritual addictions, he was able to break through their chaos, and he was able to give them external peace. And they responded. They did not have to be afraid. Jesus also gave them internal peace. He brought about internal peace by saying things like, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Do you remember when the woman was caught in adultery? That whole story, the Pharisees threw her at Jesus' feet and said, "The law says we're supposed to stone her, but what do you say?" And it was all an attempt to frame Jesus, all an attempt to get him to take a side. I can't imagine the stress that woman was going through right there, because her life was in Jesus' hands. And what did he say to her to bring her peace? "Who's here to condemn you? Where are they?" Because they had already left. And then Jesus said, "I don't condemn you either." Can you imagine the internal peace that came from Jesus? What about Zacchaeus? You remember the story of Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. He was a tax collector. He had cheated all kinds of people out of all kinds of money. He was not a good man. But when Jesus came to his house, and when Jesus sat with him, and when Jesus ate with him, something happened within Zacchaeus. And so he made a promise to Jesus. "I am going to give back 4 times. If I have cheated anybody, I'm going to give that back to them." How could that have happened if Jesus didn't provide some kind of internal peace? Do not let your hearts be troubled. It's an internal peace. But Jesus also brought one other kind of peace. He brought a spiritual peace. He brought an eternal peace. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, several words were said. One of those words was, "It is finished." What was finished? Jesus' life? No. Something deeper, something spiritual. The chaos of sin that Satan has infused upon man from practically the beginning of time has now been dealt with. Jesus Christ, because of his death on the cross, has brought about an eternal spiritual peace. You see, there are so many people that have this idea that spiritual peace is only going to come about when we no longer have life's problems. That's not true. We can't prevent life's problems. We can't prevent the diseases, and we can't prevent the death, and we can't prevent the things that have come into our world because of sin. But we can live at peace even in the midst of all of those. We can have a peace in our soul. We can experience peace even when life is crashing in around us. Real peace is being able to abide in the midst of the storm with the calm assurance that Jesus controls our spirit. The Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, all of these things that we have spoken of are characteristics of the name of the sign that God gave his people. The authority of Jesus. It's a pretty remarkable list. And if you want peace, if you want counsel, if you want that mighty, powerful God, if you want that compassionate, everlasting Father, you will only find it in Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we don't read the very last part of verse 7. Verse 7 says, "The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this." Can you imagine that? God has so much zeal for me for you, that he is willing to provide a sign of his goodness and his authority in Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The question is, do you want that in your life? Do you want that zeal of God to infuse you? Do you want him? He's not going to force himself on you. He doesn't force himself on anybody. But he simply invites us, accept me as your Savior, and I will be all of this in your life.